Yesterday, the United States Senate passed a measure which would expand federal funding for stem cell research. The vote was 63-37. Unfortunately, that's not enough to override President Bush's veto, which he did a little over an hour ago in a ceremony in the East Room at the White House. It was one of those, you know, political moments. Karl Rove and his people surrounded the president with families, and there were little kids there and little babies. And, you know, we're talking about embryos, and this is what embryos grow into. And, yeah, it's okay to protect human life, but it's also okay to use them as props. That's the message I got today. I'm going to invite Professor Stephen Teitelbaum from WashU to come in here in just a second. First, let me give you a little bit of what the president said. We've got four snippets. I'm just going to run back to back, and then we'll get the professor's reaction to this. Go ahead.
Embryonic stem cells come from human embryos that are destroyed for their cells. Each of these human embryos is a unique human life with inherent dignity and matchless value. If this bill were to become law, American taxpayers would, for the first time in our history, be compelled to fund the deliberate destruction of human embryos. And I'm not going to allow it. I believe that with the right techniques and the right policies, we can achieve scientific progress while living up to our ethical responsibilities. This bill would support the taking of innocent human life in the hope of finding medical benefits for others. It crosses a moral boundary that our decent society needs to respect, so I vetoed it.
All right, there's President Bush just over an hour ago in a ceremony in the East Room. First veto of his presidency. I'm guessing that Professor Stephen Teitelbaum, who's a professor of pathology at WashU and one of the leading people in the field of stem cell research, is not a very happy man this afternoon. Professor, welcome to KMOX.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
What's your reaction to what the president said?
Well, clearly I'm disappointed. I think that what the president did was to show no compassion. Let me just put a few things into perspective here. First, the embryos that he's talking about are pinpoint-sized balls of undifferentiated cells that would be thrown away anyhow. They are the spare products of in vitro fertilization. That is, when an infertile couple goes to a fertility clinic, there are many more of these pinpoint-sized balls of cells made than are used, and there are 400,000 of them in freezers in the United States, and they will be destroyed if they're not used. So we're not talking about making embryos for scientific purposes. We're talking about using embryos that would be in the trash can. Now, it depends upon what your perspective is. I personally think that the potential cure of kids with diabetes, of patients with spinal cord injuries, patients with Parkinson's disease, is worth the use of these pinpoint-sized ball of cells that would be destroyed anyhow. And I think the president has to answer to these people.
Tell me how this affects your work directly. When we talk about federal funding, is that the only way stem cell research can go forward in this country? Or does the current law, which the president put into effect several years ago, ban you from doing any kind of embryonic stem cell research?
In actuality, it does. It bans it. Because the so-called stem cell lines that the president approved, we now know, are inadequate. They can never be used for patients. And those of us who work at universities fund our laboratories by federal funding through the NIH. And the president, by restricting the use of federal funds for new stem cell lines, has essentially driven human embryonic stem cell research out of this country. So for the last 5 years, our fellow citizens who suffer from these devastating diseases have not been helped because of the fact that the administration has prohibited the use of federal funds to advance this science.
But let me be clear here. If you got private funding, you could do research on embryonic stem cells.
Yes, you could. And there are a few universities that have actually done this, have set up private institutions. One has to build firewalls, physical firewalls, if you will, between the federally funded component of the university and the non-federally funded component. Only two universities that I know of, namely Harvard and Stanford, has done this. But let me underscore that 99% basically of, maybe not 99, but a huge amount, the great majority of research that's done at universities and medical schools in this country is in fact funded through the National Institutes of Health and federal funding.
Explain to me as a layman why using embryonic stem cells is more important than using adult stem cells.
Well, embryonic stem cells have the potential to differentiate or to become any cell in the body. So if I, for example, want to treat a kid with diabetes and I want to make insulin-producing cells, I want to be able to go to the freezer, take out a cell, make it into an embryonic stem cell, make it into a insulin-producing cell. If I have a patient with Parkinson's disease, we know that Parkinson's disease is due to failure to produce a particular protein in the brain. I want to go to the freezer, take the same cell out, and make it into a cell that produces this protein called dopamine. We call this pluripotentiality or highly flexible cells. Embryonic stem cells are pluripotent. They can become any cell in the body. Adult stem cells cannot. And my position is we should be doing research on all types of stem cells. That said, the potential of embryonic stem cells for us to be able to do what we call regenerative medicine, that is to make any cell of the body that we want, is substantially greater than that of adult stem cells.
What do you say to those who say, you know, you guys are on that slippery slope towards cloning a human being?
You know, we don't shut down banks because there are bank robbers. We make it illegal. And we have done exactly that in the ballot initiative in Missouri, which will be voted on in November. We encourage the research and the applicability of all types of stem cells therapeutically, but we create a law. Part of that is creating a law which criminalizes any attempt to clone a human being. So that's the way our society works. We don't stop wonderful progress because of some outlandish thing that nobody really wants to do. No serious scientist wants to do this.
Are there success stories yet?
You know, embryonic stem cells human embryonic stem cells were first discovered in 1998. That's 8 years ago. And for a drug to be developed, a drug coming to market, if it's successful, takes anywhere from 10 to 15 years. Should we not expect a success, therapeutic success in this period of time, we should not have it because we must be sure that whatever we do is safe. We must be sure that the use of any drug, of any type of cell, will do no harm. That's the most important part of the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. And we need lots more research into stem cells, all types of stem cells, before we can use them therapeutically.
You mentioned that there are 400,000 frozen embryos sitting in freezers in this country that will not be used to create children implanted as test tube babies or whatever. Of those 400,000, there must be some people who are the parents of those frozen embryos who are more than willing to have those leftover embryos used for this research.
Exactly, Paul, and that's what the bill that passed the Senate involved. The only way that one can use these embryos for research, these pinpoint-sized ball of cells, is to have permission from the parents. It involves permission from the parents. It also assures that there will be no financial incentive. You cannot pay parents for the use of these embryos. Again, let me stress, we're talking about a pinpoint-sized ball of cells that would be thrown away. I find it incomprehensible that anybody would think that letting something be thrown away, which could be used for patients that I see all the time that have these devastating diseases, is a justifiable thing to do. I think President Bush needs some time in a hospital seeing the patients that I see and the terrible things, what it does to families, and maybe that would help him come to realize how important it is that we move forward on these diseases and help our fellow Americans.
You mentioned that this is going to cause the research into this field to be driven out of the United States. Is it being done elsewhere?
Yes, it is. There have been American scientists who have gone to the United Kingdom. There are American scientists who have gone to Singapore. Actually, little Singapore is doing more in the way of human embryonic stem cell research than is the 800-pound scientific gorilla of the United States. The Israelis are moving forward very aggressively in this, the Chinese. So we're basically third world in this area. And it's the first time the United States has been the poor boy, if you will, in biomedical research.
Are there other countries that restrict the use of embryonic stem cells the way we do?
Yes, there are. There are other countries that do not participate in embryonic stem cell research. But you must remember, our tradition has been to be the leader in biomedical research. This is the first time that we have not been the leader. And it's unfortunate. It's most unfortunate because we're talking about what I've been a physician scientist for many, many years. This is the most promising avenue, potential avenue of research for the cure of presently incurable, devastating diseases. So we're not talking about a peripheral issue here, a peripheral scientific issue. This is a central scientific issue. And the United States, we're out of the game.
If the referendum that will be on the ballot in Missouri in November passes, what will that mean?
Well, it will mean that Missourians will have the same opportunities to be treated with stem cells, should they become therapeutically valid, should it work, that other Americans would have. Basically, what this says is that according to federal guidelines, Missourians can receive therapy because there has been movement in this by aggressive legislators in our state to prevent my fellow citizens here in Missouri from receiving potential benefits of stem cell research. So it would basically make Missourians as good, if you will, as other Americans. This, of course, does not. If in fact, however, the federal government continues to restrict embryonic stem cell research in our country, the passage of the Missouri legislation, although very, very important, will not supersede the restrictions by the federal government. The ballot initiative basically says we in Missouri are entitled to what other Americans are entitled to.
But it doesn't solve your funding problem.
Does not solve our funding problem.
Professor, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Professor Stephen Teitelbaum at Washington University, professor of pathology there and one of the leading experts in the country on stem cells, which got a defeat from the president of the United States today, who issued his first veto on this issue. First veto he's done on anything, but it was on this issue after it had passed through the House and the Senate in bipartisan ways, but not enough, unfortunately, to overturn that veto. This is the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.